Good morning, everybody. My name is Aaron, one of the pastors here on staff. We've already heard like so many cool sermons in this service, stories of what was happening down in Philly through songs. Thanks, Jerry, for leading. Just God is doing incredible things, and you know, we shouldn't be surprised. And I'll show you why we shouldn't be surprised as we start to dive into this series we're going to be in for a few weeks here and then come back to it in a few weeks. The whole series, we're calling it Indescribable, and really what we're trying to do is describe who God is in terms of words and understanding that we have as finite human beings, and it's going to give us headaches at time probably, and I think that's a good thing. What's going to happen as we start to study who God is we're going to be made to feel really, really small. As we embrace the magnitude of who God is, and I think that is some of the best medicine that we can give ourselves as followers of Jesus. And so that's why we're going to study the attributes of God over these next few weeks. I want to start by asking just a simple question. I think it's an important question. The question I want to pose to you is, what is God like and what does God look like? All of us, we're going to, in one way or another, think of God in terms of what we know. And so I'm wondering, and I want you to think, what does God look like to you? I think it's an important question, and here's why. And here's why it's important for us to study the attributes of God. Because the way you view God will determine how you worship God. How you view God will determine how you worship him. Now, I teach a class over at Faith Christian Academy, and we always start the class, and I ask that question, what does God look like? And I help the students out a little bit. I put pictures around the classroom. Here are just a few of the pictures I put up. And what they're supposed to do is they're supposed to walk around the classroom and look at different pictures that might represent God in different ways. And then I want them to come to a conclusion as to which one they think best illustrates what God looks like, what God is like. And so they'll walk around the classroom for a little bit, and then we'll all sit back together, and I ask them, which one? And you'd be surprised to know that a number of these pictures are chosen. There's never just one. It's always a number of pictures chosen to give us a portrait of what God might look like. Some pick like the mystical old man, right? Some pick the loving father. Some pick the cosmic pictures. But it never seems to be just one. And so the question continues, well, what does God look like then if none of us can agree? And a number of people are asking this question. In fact, in June of this summer, a study was done in the University of North Carolina to figure out what people thought God looked like. And so what they did is they collected 500 American Christians, and they sat them down in a room, and they showed them 300 pairs of pictures. And so for each pair, they'd hold them up and ask, which one looks more like God? Which one represents God? And through this study, they put together their findings of what people most thought God looked like. And they got this picture. A lot of people say it looks like Elon Musk, if you're familiar with Elon Musk, right? Here's what the researcher said. The participants said most represented their view of God as masculine, Caucasian, attractive, intelligent, and loving. One of the senior writers wrote this after the study. People's tendency to believe in a God that looks like them is consistent with an egocentric bias. People often project their beliefs and traits onto others, and our study shows that God's appearance is no different. Check this out. People believe in a God who not only thinks like them, but also looks like them. So what? Why does it matter? Because how we view God will determine how we worship God. How we view God will determine our whole outlook on our life, on the world, and life to come. And this Elon Musk of a God won't do. This God is far too small. But maybe we too view God as far too small. There's a great theologian, A.W. Tozer, If he would have been alive to see this study, he would have had a heyday with it, because he actually wrote something about this that I want you to see from his book, The Attributes of God. He wrote this: "This little cheap God we've made up is one you can pal around with. The man upstairs. The fellow who helps you win baseball games. This God isn't the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He isn't the God who laid the foundations of the heaven and the earth. He's some other God. We educated Americans can create gods just the same as the heathen can. You can make a god out of silver or wood or stone, or you can simply make it out of your own imagination. And the God that is being worshipped in many places is simply a God of imagination. He's not the true God, infinite, perfect, all-knowing, all-wise, all-loving, infinitely boundless, perfect God. He is something short of that. The God of modern Christianity is not the God of the Bible." Those are strong words. And yet, could they be true of us? The way we work, the way we give, the way we serve, the way we love, the way we toy around with our sin. Does that represent an infinitely boundless God? Or some well-groomed white American who we can take or leave as we please? This morning I want us to start setting our eyes back on God, on who he is. That's why we're going to be studying these attributes and his characteristics. And some of them will be really hard for us to grasp. And we're going to start to feel really small as we encounter an infinitely boundless God. Now, when you study the attributes of God, there's going to be two different sets of attributes. There's two groups of attributes when you study God. Okay, I want to show you them right here. There's what we call communicable attributes of God and incommunicable attributes of God. Communicable attributes are attributes that God communicates or shares with us. Okay, so things that are true of God that can also be true of us. So God is love. Now, God, we're going to find out, is infinitely love and loving, right? That's true of him, but we can also love and feel love and show love. So any attributes that are true of God and are shared with us or communicated, we can be like God in that way, is a communicable attribute. The attributes that we're going to study in this series are the incommunicable attributes of God. These are attributes that are only true of God and never shared or communicated with us. For example, God is eternal. You and I will never be eternal. God does not have a beginning or an end. God is unchanging in who he is and his ways. That will never be true of us. And it's going to be crazy when we start to think about these attributes. It's going to start to give us a little bit of a headache, but I think it'll be beneficial for us. Pastor David Gibson says, "Knowing these things of God, these infinite things of God, is the greatest medicine we can give ourselves." Knowing and studying the magnitude and greatness of God is some of the best medicine we can give ourselves. Why is that? Why is that? Because most of the pain, most of the heartache, most of the disappointment that we experience in this life is because we try to do things that only God can do. And this kind of living will always fail us. It will always leave us disappointed. Some examples: only God is eternal. But how hard do we try to delay the inevitable, to further our lives and make them as long as possible? We don't want to get old. We don't want to think about death. We want to just assume that we'll go on forever. And when it finally sets in that our life will have an ending point here on earth, we get depressed. We get angry. Disappointment. When we try to do things that only God can do, only God is unchanging. How disappointing is it to watch as your body deteriorates right in front of your eyes, if you can still see? how disappointing that is, and we try to arrest the change as best we can. And when we can no longer do it, we are disappointed because we're trying to do what only God can do. Only God is sovereign in control of all things, but oh, how we long to be in control. In control of situations, in control of our lives, in control of our relationships, in control of our futures. And when we start to realize that we actually have no control at all, we tend to fall apart. Most of the heartache, most of the disappointment and pain we experience in this life is because we're trying to do things that only God can do. So the greatest medicine we can give ourselves is to study the greatness of God and the attributes that can only be true of Him and rest in those truths. So the first attribute I want to look at today has kind of a big name, but it's pretty easy to understand. The infinitude of God. Infinitude sounds like what? Infinite, right? And that's exactly what infinitude of God means. He's infinite. God cannot be limited by any of the ways that we as people are limited. He is infinite in all of His ways. So this attribute actually sums up all of His other attributes. In all of God's attributes, He is infinite. Okay, so God is wise. He's not just wise, He's all wise. He's infinite in His wisdom. There's nothing that He will ever learn that's new to Him. He'll never forget anything. He's not 99.9% wise. If He were, we could question His ways. No, God is infinitely wise. God is just. He's not just. He's infinitely just. He's not 99.9% just, or some bad calls might slip through the cracks. No, He is infinite in His justice. When you think of God, you must think of Him always in terms of being infinite in all of His ways. If God is not infinite in His attributes, then He's no longer God. Now, this gives us a serious headache to think, because we as finite people cannot think in terms of something that's infinite. We cannot think in terms of one who exists outside the confines of time. We are limited as people by time. There's only so much we can accomplish today. God exists outside of that. That makes no sense to our brains. We are limited in terms of space. We can only be in one place at one time. Now, I think we've been deceived by our phones to make us believe that maybe we can be in more than one place at one time. But the reality is, we can only be right here, right now. But God is infinite in terms of space. He exists outside of it. He is in all places with all of His being all the time. And the more and more we think about this, the smaller and smaller we begin to feel. And that's a really good thing. So if we can't understand what all this means, why are we studying it? Right? If we can never understand what it means for God to be infinite, why would we even try to pull out scripture that talks about that? Well, God tries to paint a picture for us of what it means for Him to be infinite. He tries to paint a picture to our finite minds of what it looks like to be infinite. And when He does this, He usually speaks of Himself in terms of how big He is. But even that won't do it justice, because remember, He's infinite in terms of space. But when God tries to express to us His infinitude, He speaks of how big He is. And we're going to look at one of those passages today in Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, God, through His prophet Isaiah, is speaking to how great and how grand and how infinite He is. He's speaking to finite minds about how He is infinite. And He's going to say three things in Isaiah 40. He's going to say, first, God is beyond all measure of size. Second, God is beyond all measure of knowledge. And third, God is beyond all measure of worship. So if you look with me there, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12. Isaiah says this: Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand? Or with the breadth of His hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? God is teaching us something about himself here. And again, he's using units of measurement to help us understand. And all the units of measurement he uses here are small units of measurement. He says the hollow of your hand, hold your hand like this, the cup of your hand, okay? The breadth or the span of your hand, what you can measure from thumb to pinky. The basket, which is the scoop they would use in the marketplace to measure like grains and things as they're selling them. And then the scale that they would put the grains on to make sure they're selling the right amount. All of these are small units of measurement. Listen to how God uses these small units of measurement. He says, what can you hold in the hollow of your hand? Maybe like 2 tablespoons of water. God says, you know what I hold in the hollow of my hand? You know what an infinite God holds in the hollow of his hand? The waters of the seas. I looked that up. It's 323,800 cubic miles of water. God holds them in the hollow of his hand. The span or the breadth of your hand, probably measure about 9 inches. Some of you have some big mitts. You can do like 12 inches, right? That's about it. You know what God measures with the span of his hand? He measures with the span of his hand what we measure in light years, because we don't have measurements big enough to quite define how big the universe is. And God uses the span of his hand. He holds all of the dust of the earth in a scoop, and on his balancing scale sit the Himalayans and the Rockies and all the mountains of the world. He is infinite beyond all measure of size. How's that make you feel as you're walking through life and you feel like life is out of control, to be reminded that God goes beyond all measurement of size? Is this the God that you worship? Is this reflected in your life, that this is the God you follow who exists beyond all measure of size? God's beyond all measure of knowledge. Verse 13, who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? The answer to all those questions is no one, and no one, and no one, and no one. No one taught him, because he is infinite beyond the measure of knowledge. He doesn't learn something new. He always has and always will know infinite wisdom and knowledge. That's not true of us. There's some really smart people in this room. Everything you know has been learned. Everything that you know has been passed on to you from someone else. Whether you had a mentor come alongside you and teach you everything you know, whether you just watched a ridiculous amount of YouTube videos to learn what you know how to do, everything you know has been passed on to you, taught to you by someone or something else. Not so with our God. He's saying, when did I ever have to raise my hand and ask for help? When did I ever consult the IKEA book to figure out how to put together the universe? Who taught me? Who showed me the way? No one. God is infinite in his wisdom and knowledge, goes beyond all measure that we can even understand. How does that make you feel when you're going through life and you want to question God's ways? As if the finite wisdom and knowledge you have is greater than the infinite knowledge of the God of the universe. There's no limit to what he knows. Is this the God that you worship? God is beyond your greatest measure of worship. Verse 15, Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him, all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. God goes beyond all measure of worship. Okay, the singing in here was really good this morning, but it falls far short. Falls short of the kind of worship that God deserves. In fact, all the cedars in Lebanon piled up on one big fire, throw every animal that's in the woods there on that fire, burn it as a burnt offering, does not even come close to the kind of worship that God is worthy of. This is the God we serve. And how we view God will determine how we worship, how we love, how we give, how we serve, how we work. And the God of the Bible is a lot different than that cheap God that many of us have created in our minds. You are not God, and God is not like you. You cannot do what only God can do. You want proof of this? Well, look at the world we live in. The proof is that we were put on this earth with a ruler in our hand and a wrist with a watch. Because all of life for us is limited. All of life for us is bound by something, bound by time, bound by space. You are not God. God exists outside of all of that. I love this quote I came across by Jen Wilkin in her book, None Like Him. She writes, "On the day I was born, the doctor who delivered me inscribed my birth records with a firm hand. 7 pounds, 11 ounces, 21 inches. It was the first legally attested evidence I received that I was not God." That's the best medicine we can give ourselves. To study who he is, the magnitude of who he is, to accept that you are not infinite in time, that you are not infinite in space, but that you serve a God who is. Now, just in closing here, sometimes we can read a passage like this and get really depressed. Because look at what God says in verse 17. "Before him, all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing." We can read that and be really depressed. That's what God thinks of humanity. We're nothing. We're worthless. Make sure you always read Scripture in context, okay? Because here we're getting these words of measurement. God is trying to define for us what it means for him to be infinite. And so he says, right, "I hold all the oceans in my hand. I can measure the heavens with my fingers," right? And then he says to us, "But you know where you fall on that scale? It's not that you mean nothing to God. It's that in the grand scheme of things and all these grand measurements, like you hold your hand up, this is God spanning the heavens. Go ahead and try to make a spot small enough to represent you. You can't. In the grand scheme of our infinite God and this universe, by scale, you are nothing and you are worthless, size-wise." But this should actually do the complete opposite of making us depressed. Because while we were nothing and worthless in the grand scheme of this universe, the Bible tells us that God stoops low to our nothingness and hears our cries and does something about it. When you were nothing, the Bible says, even worse than nothing, you were nothing and you were an enemy of God. In all that he is, his infinite being, he stoops down low and hears our cries. Seeing us in our sin, knowing what we deserve because of our sin, separation forever, he sends Jesus to live a life that none of us could ever pull off. To die a death that all of us deserve to die in shedding his blood on the cross so that we might not perish but have everlasting life, a life that never ends in the presence of an infinite God. You were nothing on the scale of creation. And yet God is infinite in his love to send Jesus so that we might be in his presence forever. Let's pray. God, you are so good. You are so good to us, and let us never forget you are good beyond anything we could ask, think, or imagine. That while you are infinite, beyond space, beyond time, beyond any knowledge that we can comprehend, beyond any worship that we can offer up, while you are infinite in all of your being, and we were nothing, you loved us so much that you would send your one and only Son so that we might not perish but live forever with you. So God, we thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus and the future we have in all eternity with you because of him. And God, we pray, we ask that you would forgive us for the times that we have turned who you are into a cheap little God, where our worship has fallen far too short. Forgive us, God, and give us wisdom, give us strength to continue to come back to your word and see who you are as revealed in Scripture and live our lives in light of it. God, that might be our view of you and it might be reflected in all that we do and all that we say. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.